That's the echo at the end of the
theme. I wasn't sure if your stick was going to continue to be using the podcast opening poorly over the entire show.
It is.
Forever and ever and ever. Sam, do you have a mouth?
Yeah, I can talk this week. Thanks for holding down the fort the last episode. Turns out I can never eat an apple again.
Yeah. So it's been, what, 2 weeks since I did that? Since I did that episode. Well, not quite 2 weeks because we're a couple of days ahead of time or whatever here, but about that. And you had Thanksgiving break in the meantime, so were you able to eat pies and cookies on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it took me about 10 days to recover, and I was fully healed up like the day before Thanksgiving. And thank God, because eating, whew, that's the best.
Well, I mean, there's literally like nothing better than the eating holiday.
Mm-hmm.
The holiday surrounding eating. So good, we did it twice.
We did. I almost got out of cooking Thanksgiving meal this year, but yeah. That's fine. We had a Friendsgiving following.
So, like, normally we host it. That's what you're trying to say. Normally we host it every year for our family, but this year we ended up going to a different family member's house, which was amazing, and you didn't have to cook. And then I was like, voila, let's also do a Friendsgiving at our house.
Yeah, and you were really unhappy with my my choice of wardrobe for Thanksgiving as well.
I couldn't, like, actually get over it because you're usually a really good dresser. Usually you take like care, you look quite nice. In fact, like when I first met you, I was like, oh, he's like metrosexual or whatever. Like, he really cares about how he looks, and you always like smell good and like whatever.
I still smell good.
Well, but then, okay, so on Thanksgiving, we had like a 3-hour drive.
Each way,
yeah, true. But I like did my stupid hair. It takes me hours and hours and hours if I need to wash it and then dry it and then straighten it. And I did all of that. And I stayed up until like 3:30 in the morning the day before Thanksgiving or the night before Thanksgiving, getting my hair done and then putting on like really nice, like, you know, fancy dress, fancy shirt, nice, like.
Yeah, we call it fancy dress.
Yeah, no, fancy dress is a British term for Halloween, isn't it? But yeah, anyway, so I spent all that time. I even put on like boots with a heel on them. I never wear anything with a heel ever. And I was like, well, it's Thanksgiving. It's like one time a year, you know, you want to look like kind of nice and put together. So I had like fancy boots. And then we get in the car to start the journey. And I like, we were so busy leaving, packing everything up that I didn't like really get a chance to fully take you in. When we were in the car and we finally were like, ah, like breathe out. We have everything packed. We're on the way. I glance over at you and I'm like, what are you wearing?
Now let's, all right. Oh, Chris Miller. Sorry.
Chris Miller.
To set the scene. All right. I'm showered. Fresh haircut. Freshly shaven. I have a beautiful waffle what do you call this, like a waffle cut sweatshirt?
I don't know,
or something. I'm wearing it right now.
Yeah, you are.
So it's a nice gray like hoodie with like a waffle texture to it, and I'm wearing sweatpants and my house slippers.
And slippers. I look over and he's got his like fuzzy slipper foot
they're not fuzzy
on
they're
gas, and I'm like, what are you doing? Where are your shoes? And you're like, I'm not wearing shoes today. And I was like, we're going 3+ hours into the mountains. Like, what if we break down or something and we have to get out of the car and like walk for a while or whatever, like any emergency situation. Also, isn't it illegal not to wear like proper shoes to drive? I think it is.
I think it's like sandals or something you're not supposed to wear, but listen, I got socks on.
No, I think sandals are fine though. I think it's literally slippers that you're not.
Listen, if you're a lawyer, write in. Right into the show. Call us right now on the air.
It probably varies state by state too. Like what type of footwear you're allowed.
It probably does. But so I'm ready for 6+ hours in the car, followed by, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 hours or whatever of visiting people that I have known for well over a decade.
And eating with
and
them
eating.
Gratuitously.
Yes.
I mean, so, I definitely made sure that my pants had like a nice, like squishy waistband that could expand. I did make sure, but they were still nice pants. So anyway, that was your garb, your attire for Thanksgiving. And then when we had our Friendsgiving at our house, you dressed really nice.
Yeah, because I didn't have to go anywhere.
Well, I don't get it. I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like when you go somewhere nice, you dress nice. And when you stay home, you have your like shitty sweats.
So we have good friends, Leslie and Jim. Leslie probably listens to the podcast every once in a while.
Shout out, Leslie.
And they're so funny because they dress up like they're going to like the Queen's birthday whenever they hop on a plane.
I mean, they look good. They look all great the time. They're like dressed to the nines all the time.
And I see that. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. Meanwhile, if I'm going on a long trip of any kind, there is no way I'm dressing anything but comfortable clothes.
Yeah, I love that about them though. But that used to be the, I think that used to be like the norm. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it was definitely the norm.
Yeah, like when you flew on mm-hmm. like our commercial aircraft back in the day, like people wore their like Sunday best or whatever and like fancy hats.
Right. And I mean, and to be fair, you like you'd look at Jim traveling in a suit and be like, man, that guy's got his stuff together. He looks great. Yeah. And then you look at me and I'm like,
ehh. Yeah, awful.
But I'm comfortable as anything.
No self-respect.
so we had a great Friendsgiving. I cooked a turkey. I feel like I finally nailed the turkey.
The turkey was like actually incredible. So I'm sorry to any like vegans or vegetarians who are listening to this because it's not nice. And believe me, I didn't want to be in the room when he was sticking the butter under its skin and he was singing a skin song about it.
Yeah, well, and I wasn't going to go into all the details if you just immediately apologize to the vegan listeners.
Yeah, well,
and
I'm
then
just saying, like I get it, but also I do have to admit that it was really incredible tasting when you were done.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the trick is spatchcocking the turkey. If you don't know what that is, just look it up. I won't have to describe it again for the more squeamish listeners out there. But it came out great, and I was really happy with that. And then we played a bunch of Jackbox games, which are always fun at a party.
Yeah, I don't know if any of you guys know about those, but they're games that you basically play, like, that you can pull them up on the TV. And I think they're available for, like, what, like Nintendo
anything.
Switch and like literally PlayStation
anything.
And Xbox, like any...
Your computer, your Apple TV.
Yeah, and then you play them and they are up on the TV and you basically like control your answers and things like that, like with your phone. So basically everyone can play who's in the room because, I mean, who doesn't have a cell phone on their body these days mm-hmm. somewhere? So it was fun because it was like eight of us and there's like trivia and there's a robot rap battle, which is awesome. And then... there's Quiplash, which is like you got to come up with funny answers to different prompts and things like that. So it's always a riot.
Yeah, my favorite is TKO, where you get to design your own T-shirt. And, mm-hmm. You know, you do some drawing on your phone and you're looking for easy things to draw with just a couple of colors or that sort of thing. And inevitably at every game, someone draws you.
Oh, I know me specifically. I know.
Yeah. So one of our favorite T-shirts design was a drawing of you holding up a doll of you and holding up another doll of you that held a Starbucks cup.
That's right. It was like a little Kaylee Inception.
Yeah.
I forget what the saying on that one was.
I don't remember, but you look like a fractal.
It was incredible. You know, one time when we played that with Joy and Jim, shout out Joy and Jim, they made a T-shirt, so one of them, I think it was Jim, made a T-shirt with me on it, and I'm holding my green drink, my signature matcha green tea latte thing from Starbucks, and I think Josh was in it with me, and it's like the most crude like line drawing of me as like a pencil person, and it says, "Live like you just ate a banana."
And, yes.
We bought the shirt.
And that's the best part about that game is at the end, you can purchase any of the shirts that you design. And they're pretty affordable. So
yeah, so it was like $20 or something to order the T-shirt. So I have the T-shirt now and I wear it proudly.
Yep. Live like you just ate a banana.
Yeah.
Always words to live by.
So how have you been, Sammo? Other than Thanksgivings and eating, which we've done a lot of.
I've been, I mean, in perspective... fine. I'm
yeah.
happy.
Yeah. And your mouth is healed.
So and my mouth is healed.
Yeah.
Overall, I've been just a nonstop perpetual mess of various health issues.
Yeah, you have.
And including the fact that and this is all self
inflicted.
I did something to my back and it has just been absolutely brutal for the last 3 days.
You know what you did to your back though. You always injure yourself at the gym. Always.
Right, but it was one of those things where like I didn't do anything at the gym and I was like, oh, that hurt. It was just like later on in the evening it was like, oh, this is starting to hurt, and then it became like way beyond sore and into like I can barely move, and that's kind of where I am right now.
Well, yeah, but you did deadlifts with too much weight.
There's never no such thing as too much weight.
I think it was too much weight. It's really freaking me out that you're not sitting on the couch with me today. You're way across the room on a stool.
Hi.
Did you do your other podcast on the stool?
No, why would I?
I don't know.
I did it where you're sitting on the comfy couch.
Oh, well, you could always sit on the couch too.
No, see, I've got this room set up for a couple various purposes. One of the things I have been doing, which has been great, has been trying to make some new music. with my good friend Jay.
Yeah.
And so I've got the room half set up for live band rehearsal and half set up for podcasting.
So, but does that mean you have to be across the room now?
That means if I want to sit on the couch, I need to take this microphone arm off of where it
oh,
is.
Oh, I understand. Take you had the it there for like singing.
Yes.
Oh, can you sing us something?
Me, 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 me.
Something nice. Yeah. Something nice.
Go to a party. Nice. How did
Not
you get to this party?
That one's done.
That's the only one.
That
I
one's
know.
All done. Yep. You did that one.
How about this one? Have you ever been close to tragedy or been close to folks you have? The Mighty Mighty Boston's?
And you
remember 1997?
So powerful in your camera has some hair.
No?
You ever had to knock on wood?
Yeah, I remember when you were in that band?
Yeah, when I was in that band? Yeah. When I played bass in that band in the 80s?
Yeah, in the 80s.
They weren't even around in the 80s, were they?
Shout out to 1997. Kaylee, welcome to Adventures in Dog Photography.
Thank you.
The podcast where we always stay on topic and talk a lot about things happening in the dog photography industry, lots of camera settings, gear, and it's mostly technical information.
And do you know what really grinds my gears? Do you know what really aches my joints?
Yeah, you're pulling up.
That's a shout out to Will from the Top 5 of Death podcast. Nice little deep cut right there.
Yep.
Sam's other podcast.
You're the first one to ever quote Will.
Will, you yes. think? Well, he says, you know what aches my joints? And that's always like, you know, what bothers me. What's frustrating me today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, number one, my damn tooth. I'm trying to keep it together, but it's driving me flipping crazy. If you guys recall, about this time last year, I had a procedure like on my stupid gum, like a little small gum surgery on my tooth, and apicoectomy or something it's called. And basically, it's
you don't have to get into detail.
Long story short, it's supposed to heal, and it's been like it's sometimes is fine for a few months, and then it just friggin' swells up, and then I have this like just pulsing ache in my mouth, and it also makes my eye twitch when it like gets like kind of inflamed or whatever. So it's like at the base of my tooth, so there's nothing I can do at all. I can't reach it. It's just deep inside my gums, and it sucks because it's so distracting when I'm trying to like work at all, when I'm trying to like send emails or edit photos or whatever. I can't, and I think it gets worse when I look at the computer for too long as well. And when I'm like stressed about anything, which lately, to be honest with you, it's been like cuckoo bananas around here, and I've been like crazy stressed actually. So I don't know. It's all inflamed and it's really bothering me, and it's making my eye twitch, and it is so frustrating. And then the other thing I was going to say aches my joints lately is social media.
Oh, wow. Welcome to Kaylee Complains.
I know. It's just
on Adventures in Dog Photography.
And that's a huge topic. I think it's like maybe its own episode is a huge topic. But I think social media is bad for us.
Yeah, I agree. I was looking at you know, like scrolling through reels and looking at people that like, you know, they're spending their entire lives like making these reels to try to get eyeballs on it for whatever purpose, whatever gain. And I was thinking like, I don't want to be an Instagram man. Like, I don't want to be a man that exists entirely on the Instagram and for the Instagram. Does that make sense?
No, I hear you. I think like I'm really, it's a tough conundrum because like so much of dog breath in the business, like, I don't want to say relies on social media. Definitely not, because we have like, I'm so grateful to say like so many real life clients that I think would still want to be with us and book with us and things if we weren't so active on social media. But I do think that that is the way that a lot of our clients did originally hear about us or connect with us or whatever is social media in some way, whether it was Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you know what I mean? So I think it's like a necessary evil kind of, but also I sometimes like lately I've been, and I think this is adding to like just like the frustration and stress that I've been feeling, is like I'm usually like super super positive, and I like to try to keep it positive, but I think like it's worth a small vent so that if you guys are feeling this way too, then you know you are certainly not alone, where I pick up my phone and I like flick open, I don't know, Facebook or Instagram or sometimes like Reddit or whatever, And I don't know why. Like, there's no purpose for me to do it. I don't know why I'm doing it. It's not, it's like muscle memory. Like, you know what I mean? I'll sit down at like the table for like a second to have a breath, or like just sit down to have like, I don't know, a snack or whatever. And the first thing I do is like pick up my phone and like pop open an app that I don't actually care what's on there. And I can't, it's weird because I'll catch myself doing it, but not until I'm like already sort of in the middle of the action. And then I'm like, why did I come here? Like, what am I looking for? And it's all like the same exhausting shit over and over and over again. And especially with like, I don't know if this happens for you guys, but I think probably with everybody on Facebook these days, it like suggests you different reels. So like as you're scrolling through your feed, by the way, now it's literally like a real post from a real person and then an ad, maybe another ad, and then maybe one more real post and then three more ads or two more ads.
Or all suggested stuff.
It's insane.
Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do.
I've got more, but go ahead.
I know you've got more. So much more. I'm going to challenge you to do this, and I'm going to challenge our listeners to do this if you feel the same way. Just open up your phone right now. If you're driving, maybe when you get home.
Don't do it.
If you have an iPhone, you go to your settings. Mm-hmm. You scroll down just a tad until you find screen time. You head to app limits. You're going to turn on app limits, and then you're going to check and you're going to say add limit and choose any social media stuff that you find yourself scrolling too much. And you're just going to put a time limit on it. That's all.
I think
10 minutes a day, more than enough time to absorb anything of use.
Yeah. I mean, it's not much of use. That's a thing anymore. It's really rare. Mm-hmm. It's nice for staying like in contact with family members and like old friends and whatever. I like it for those reasons. I do think there's like some merits to it, but there's been like recently the reels that Facebook has been suggesting me are like these insufferable like clips that have been taken from movies or like old game shows or whatever. It's pure copyright infringement where it's like some, you know, like shitty, like illegitimate business that's just trying to sell like crappy t-shirts or whatever. And they're taking content. They're just lifting it off of, I don't know. I think in the last few days I've seen like million Britney Spears concerts of like old footage from her concerts. And then also like Hannah Montana footage from the Disney show that existed. And like, like clips from Seventh Heaven and Full House and things like this. And it's people just like ripping parts of the show and going like, oh my God, this moment with Michelle from Full House, ha ha. And it's literally just a playing of, you know, whatever, a minute clip from the show where there's a joke in it or something. And it's like, that is somebody else's material. Like somebody else wrote that in the 90s, by the way. And they like worked hard on it, right? And then it was created and there was like lots of cameras and money and people and teams involved and talent and things and contracts. And they had to work really hard to put that together, and it's their intellectual property. And like people are just lifting it and ripping it for like a 1 minute reel that gets a lot of attention. Some of these have like millions of views because they're just using like gimmicky stuff to get you to look at it. And then they're trying to sell you a crappy t-shirt or whatever. And it really bothers me. And then now with reels at the end of them, there's ads. There's ads at the end of reels now. So if you do like fall prey to watching one of these stupid clips of like a Britney Spears like concert or something, and like shout out to Britney Spears, she's incredible. So they're using her allure, you know, to get a view on their crappy product or whatever. And then there's an ad at the end that's like, are you like depressed? And do you need a puppy and a hot chick? Then have this pharmaceutical drug. It's so exhausting. I am so exhausted by it. And here's, all right, I'm almost done with this rant.
Mm-hmm. Debatable.
I don't know. I don't mean to be mean. I don't know how to say this. I check the comments sometimes just to be like, naturally, like people see through this, right? Like naturally people are like commenting on this going like, or not, hopefully not commenting at all, giving an engagement, but how about like, oh, this is obviously like copyright. This is like lifted from Family Guy or whatever. Or I see that you're trying to sell me a crappy t-shirt, like call them out or something. But it's all people tagging their friends and going like, oh my God, like Nicole, we need this. Like, I don't know. They're not hurting anybody, but I can't imagine, like, I think I constantly overestimate like people's general intelligence level or something.
You do, and when they fail you, it hurts you on a personal level, and it happens time and time again.
Yeah.
Day in, day out, month after month, year after year.
Yes, so I know, but Sam, it's truly like, I don't know, it's painful for me to see. Like, it'll be like this horrible ad for like some terrible product that's clearly a scam, that's like coming straight from overseas, that's not... if you did 1 minute of research, you would see that the thing will never ever get shipped to you if you buy it. And there'll be 1,000 comments that's like, oh my God, need. And then they tag like 3 or 4 friends.
You're getting all fired up about this.
Oh man. And it just so blows my mind.
I feel like your expectations are set wrong. It's all about expectations.
And but I think it helps me to vent. I mean, I feel better even just like getting that out there. And I hope that you guys like, hopefully I'm not the only one in this camp. I'm just so exhausted by all of it. And I feel like I've got to like detox from it, kind of. I will say, in 2020, I didn't use Facebook for almost an entire calendar year. It was like probably 11 months that I did not. I think I logged in to like pop over to my dog breath page because I would have to post things up for like the business. But I did not get caught up on like looking at the feed on my personal page, like nothing. I didn't go in there for like a year. And it was amazing. Oh my God, it was amazing. Especially during that time where things were quite difficult. Like not only politically, but just like the state of the world was really tough and we were all going through something really hard, but people have like their opinions about it and opinions about everything and opinions about other people's health. And like, I just can't, I'm so exhausted by it. Nobody is vetted to be giving advice on there except for like extremely rare, like people with crazy educations and actual degrees, but they're not really on there spouting off opinions. No, it's all like Uncle John. It's like Uncle John and Auntie Maria spouting off opinions, and right. it just drives me nuts.
Or someone who's like 17 years old and telling you how to live life.
Yeah, or like that run sort a of business thing. Or so, I don't know. It's just too many opinions swaying around in the pot. Let me just say one more thing. Yeah. Let me say one more thing.
That's cool.
I think that it
means this is going to be a brief episode.
So I think it makes sense though that it's like overwhelming for us and bad for our like mental health and stuff, because this is really interesting. I was reading somewhere that human beings were only ever meant to have like a social circle with like just about 10 to 12 people in it, right? So you have like your really close like family, like your parents, a couple of close friends, maybe a little bit of like more extended family, right? And that's it. Those are the people that you know about their lives. You keep up with them. You're aware of their opinions, whatever. That's back in, you know, times of the caveman. You know what I mean? That was your social circle. It was like about a dozen people. And that's kind of all like you're mentally wired to like keep up with. And then here comes the internet. And then suddenly you go on the internet and oh my gosh, there are not only like thousands of opinions, not only like hundreds of thousands of opinions, not only millions of opinions, but billions and billions of different people's lives and like experiences and opinions. And there's some beauty to that. I think there's some beauty to that, right? The accessibility of all this information and how you can learn things so much faster, and you can connect with people that are like really incredible and special and whatever. But then there's so much like useless like fluff on there that you're looking at like some really, you know, like pretty influencer girl who's on like vacation in Mykonos or whatever, and she's like sporting a, you know, whatever, thong bikini, and you're like, oh, my life sucks, like I don't have an ass like that and I don't have a vacation like that, you know, or whatever. And it's so, all of it is so fake. And like, you know, I think it's probably the age old, like I'm pretty sure a lot of people feel this way about social media, at least I hope. But then we still continue to like feed it and use it. And I do too, because I'll post up, you know, photos from my shoots or whatever. And I feel like I need to be constantly sharing, and I need to be constantly telling the world about like what dog breath photography is up to. But and I love to do it because I love people and I love connecting with people. But also like it's exhausting. It feels like a full-time job to be like constantly spouting off like what I'm doing, me, you know what I mean? Like I don't know, I think we need room to like breathe a little and like not look at a screen and try to focus on things that are far away. What did you, were you talking to me about eyes and what's happening to humans' eyes, or was that Ken?
I think that was Ken. Yeah,
she's like, you can't look at a screen all day long, which is, you know, maybe like 2 feet in front of you. Your eyes are supposed to look at things that are like, yes, close, but also really, really far away, like on the horizon, step outside your door, look out at the world, look at the horizon line, and your eyes are supposed to go that far. And like often now, people's eyes aren't even going past, you know, like a foot or two away from them all day long. And I know what that's like because I am editing all day. I'm emailing. I've been doing bidding for all these big jobs and like planning for projects. And I'm on the computer all flipping day long. And I think it's probably driving me a little nuts. And then also, I think it's making my tooth swell.
Yeah, your tooth is definitely swelling and not the gum tissue around it. I'm going to say it again. Screen time. Set a limit for yourself.
Yes, that's the moral of the story.
It's going to be good for your productivity, for your mental health. Can't recommend it enough. But during your time that you've set your 10-minute limit or whatever, you definitely want to go over to Instagram and you definitely want to follow at Adventures in Dog Photography.
Perfect. Let's promote some more social media.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hey, before we launch into today's topic, a couple quick things. One, I have gotten a couple messages from people when they share their here are my most listened to podcast list for 2023. And there's been little old Adventures in Dog Photography at the top.
I've gotten a couple of those. Tell me that. You never even told me that. That's so nice.
Isn't that nice?
That's so nice. Damn, you don't tell me so many things.
I'm telling you on the podcast. So that's been really cool to know that people are
seriously, that means a lot
out there, and they're listening to us, you know, more hours than, you know, the My Favorite Murder podcast. That's number two on the list or whatever.
Oh, well, I know it's funny though, because we sit down in here and like I put my mouth to this like little that doesn't sound good at all. Where I was going with that wasn't gonna come out right. I put my face up to this microphone and I say things and I say words and I think about things and I muse on them, and I have no idea if anybody's listening. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea if anyone's gonna hear it ever. And I don't know, you know what I mean? You're just kind of like, you spitball on your thoughts and you put it all out there to the world, and like I'm not sure what happens on the other end because I'm not there. So it really means a lot to me to know that this hits some ears and it means something to some people. I got some really nice messages too from some people about my episode by myself last week. So thank you for those who reached out and gave me some praise on handling it by myself.
You did a great job. I was here. I was downstairs. I was playing video games.
I know you were, but your mom, you couldn't talk. So.
I could barely speak. So yeah, great job on that episode. Very informative. Really, really great.
Thank you. That was really nice. You said that I went way off track though.
Oh, you did. But I mean, that's par for the course.
Yes.
That's fine. And in other slightly sadder news, Elliot Erwitt, who is a famous dog photographer.
He did
pass away, but at this point it would have been yesterday. But he was 95 years old.
Wow. That's that is a good beautiful run. Life though, right? And he left such a legacy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely one of the original dog photographers.
His work is so full of it. Like, and when I say it, I mean like whimsy and storytelling and like humor. And I think like bringing humor to it into dog photography, like specifically, which he really was kind of the first known person to do publicly, is something that feels like so modern when you look at it. It's like the sense of humor like holds up so well, and it's really like darling and charming, and to this day those images still catch my eye. Like even in a sea of like, I mean, at this point, dog photography has just boomed to the point where I swear that my social media feeds have like 10,000 dog photographers in them. You know what I mean? And still his work really like is special and stands out. And that's amazing because a lot of that stuff was shot, what, like 60 years ago?
Or more.
70 years ago?
Yeah, some of it longer. I think he had about a 60-year career. Mm. Which is wild. Last time we saw William Wegman in person, he was talking about how he was writing an article about Elliot Erwitt.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And yeah, for anyone not familiar with his work, you should just give it a quick Google. Erwitt is E-R-W-I-T-T. There's a great photo that I love so much, which is it's kind of like the photo that people will take, you know, at a typical dog session where it's like the owner's legs and then the dog next to, you know, next to the legs, that sort of thing. It's a fun play on that, but it's obviously it's you know, it's from this particular photo, it's from 1974. And the first set of legs in the photo are from a huge dog, incredible. Like a Great Dane. Yep. And the second set of legs are human legs. And then there's a tiny teacup chihuahua in a, like a fancy hat and jacket. Like
a sombrero or something.
Next to it. It's so, so cute. Funny.
No, that's what I'm telling you. It's such great sense of humor, like personality in the images. And that, man, does that say a lot about like the technical limitation at that time was so we could never even imagine shooting with limitations like that. Can you imagine like the cameras didn't even have like, they had like ISO 100, you know what I mean? Or you could buy film or whatever that went up to what? I don't know.
Well,
the 600.
Well, yeah, but those numbers don't really mean the same thing anymore because like ISO 400 on a camera today doesn't look like anything. But yeah, but back right. in the day, ISO 400 film might be like barely usable.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, like shutter speeds and it, the lens, obviously the technology was just wildly different. And then you're talking about film. So you don't know, you know, exactly what you're shooting. You're not seeing it on the back of an LCD. And right. you have to wait till the film's developed and getting the exposures right in camera was everything. Because there's no post-processing really, except for maybe in the darkroom. So totally different world, obviously. And it really goes to show you that like those images like still truly hold up. And that's because of the like story and the subject matter and the way that it was captured and like a particular style that is so like still so trademark to him and always will be, no matter how many people try those same shots. They're just, it's always, it's really kind of a trademark like Elliot Erwitt sort of look. So,
well, yeah. So if you want someone to be talking about your photos 60 years from now on whatever podcast gets beamed directly into your head,
truly
shoot something unique and original that hasn't been done before, and that's what people are going to be talking about you and not someone else that shot the same thing. Sound fair?
Sounds good to me. Well, I have about 800 million things more that I could talk about. I could save those for next week if you want to get into it.
Let's, please.
Yeah, I know. You've done a whole other podcast before this, and you're sitting super awkwardly because of your back.
Yep.
And it's midnight.
Yep.
Wait, is it?
Almost.
Oh, my. Yeah, we're getting there. And my birthday!
And, yes. And as this
you
drops...
You forgot.
No, there's no way I could forget. As this drops on Friday, December 1st, it will be your birthday.
My birthday!
I believe you're turning 27 years old, if my math is correct.
27.
Nobody look into that.
27 years old today. Tomorrow. Yep. No, not quite that, but it is my birthday, and we're going to do something fun, and I don't know what it is yet, but we have to send a bajillion, million, bajillion giant calendars off at the post office first.
Yeah, that's going to be a trip.
We opened those calendars for sale, and I'm so humbled. We sold so many so quickly. The Dog's Life one sold out immediately. Like, I think it was 2 hours, right?
Something like that.
Sold out, and then the Fine Art one. We sold so many, and they have been, they're so big that they're very challenging to ship. So I've been, like, really working on packaging them all up with love, and so they get to places safely. And anyway, so if you happen to be one of those folks that's waiting for one, those are going on my birthday tomorrow to the post office. So that'll be fun to have the like postal guy behind the counter have to ring in 100 calendars or whatever to different places.
That will be convenient for everyone.
Yes, I know. I'm so nervous about it. I have so much anxiety about dragging in a wagon full of calendars, but whatever it is, what it is.
Just another day, another wagon of calendars.
You know.
You ready to hop into it today, Greer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can do it.
So again, head on.
Wait, where's our break?
What? Our break? Why would we have a break right now? Are we selling something?
Do a quick ad. Quick.
Ding, 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 ding. It's the holiday. It's the holiday season, and you know what that means. For the dog photographer in your life, make sure to pick up Dogtography, a knock your socks off guide to capturing the best dog photos on earth. Available at your local bookstore and Amazon.com and RockyNook.com.
And you can also go to samsweatpants.com if you want to get a special version of his Thanksgiving outfit.
There you go. This is the time of year where dog photography trends right towards the top of the old digital photography charts on Amazon, which is very cool.
Yeah, honestly, the price on Amazon is ridiculous I know that I'm obviously biased, but for the amount of information in that book, it's 300 pages of like pure dog photography information. I don't know, like just the most information that's ever been put in
it's
one
all
book
gold, baby.
About dog photography. And it's like $28 plus free shipping if you're a Prime member on Amazon, which is insane because when it came out, it was like $50. So get yourself a copy.
And for every book sold, Kaylee will receive a shiny new nickel.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, excellent. Head on over to Instagram if you are not currently operating a motor vehicle or heavy machinery, and you're going to be able to see this photo that Kaylee is going to describe to you right now.
This is a photo of the most beautiful pit bull that has ever graced the face of planet Earth. His name is Joshua, and he is a senior Pibinski, Mr. Senior Pibs, and it is him up on a glorious red rock in an extremely western desert-looking landscape. Well, I shouldn't say desert. It's like a canyon, and there's like big, huge, I guess, what are those things called behind him?
There's probably a specific name for that type of landform.
Like a mesa.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It could be something there's like that. Like, a rocky mountainous structure.
It's a Utahian.
Yeah. Utahian.
Utah based landform.
Yep.
And there's blue sky, and he's got the most serious look on his face. It's kind of a riot. I think I chose that one because it was so hot that day that literally every single other photo was like super big, wide, crazy.
He's got the whale eyeing.
Yeah,
yeah,
he was
crazy.
Like so excited and hot. And so yeah, I think that's why I chose that one with the serene, serious face.
That's excellent. So yes, today we are talking about road tripping across the country, all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada, to the little state of New Hampshire where we reside, and doing that road trip with our two dogs. Now they had been road tripped out to Las Vegas by two very trustworthy friends of ours who worked at the Shutterhound Conference. Our dogs had their big moments at Shutterhound, and now we've loaded up the SUV full of dogs and supplies and leftover things from the conference, and we are heading out from Las Vegas.
And that thing was slam-packed, man. That was slam-packed with stuff because I think we spent so long planning the conference that we forgot to even remotely think about what was going to happen right after. Like, we're going to have all this stuff. What do we do with it? So we're like donating stuff here and bringing it to the shelter and doing this like in a panic kind of. And then we're like, we have all this stuff left over. We had to take it home or ship it home. We did ship some stuff home, but
we did. And quick shout out to Pro Prints. You can go to proprints.com.
My nose, okay?
You go for it. Because they were so lovely to not only come and be a sponsor of Shutterhound, but then to donate so many pieces of artwork to the Nevada SPCA.
I know. So
which is now like adorning their entire office space.
Like adoption center.
Yeah. And then also to Andrew Knapp of Find Momo and Find Yaya and Boo, which by the way, also make great Christmas gifts for any young children in your life or for the dog lover.
Well, the children's board books.
Yes, because he was so lovely to also donate all of his giant Pro Prints art pieces to the shelter as well.
Yeah, and they did a special like gallery, like wine and gallery night where they had like people come in and go through the Find Momo gallery and try and find Momo, and then they serve wine and they made a bunch of money off it. So
yep.
That's amazing.
And that's awesome. So so we luckily we didn't have to worry about packing up dozens of canvases into our SUV. They found a good home, but we had everything else. We had rented a Chevy Suburban, which is one of the biggest SUVs available, and we just filled it, I mean, floor to ceiling with stuff, and we headed out. And
so was our total road trip home. Yep. Was about 40 hours total, right, of driving, broken up
it's,
across.
Yeah, like 50, I think.
Oh,
50.
Was it like, does it really take like 50?
Yeah.
Like, okay. So, yeah, that's a lot of miles. I will say that. Our first stop was, I was so excited about this, Moab, Utah.
Yes, and by the way, we are going to give you the nice bullet points of this trip as opposed to the 50-hour minute-per-minute breakdown.
Ridiculous. It would be ridiculous if we went over every single thing.
Yes.
But let's just say, because the photo that we were talking about today was taken in Moab.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our first stop. We got this like awesome little Airbnb. That was a gorgeous Airbnb. That was really great. And you've booked that one, so kudos.
Yeah, I'm really good at booking Airbnbs, if you haven't noticed.
You're like pretty good. But
I'm very good.
So it was like comfy and cozy, which was amazing because you and I crashed. Because
I slept for about 72 hours.
The drive from Vegas to Moab was Like 6 hours, right?
Yeah, about 6 hours.
So we did, like, we got up the next day after, like, packing up all of Shutterhound, and we were so rocked. We were so tired, but we had the 6 hour drive to Moab. So we did that. And when we got there, we absolutely crashed. And we got there really late at night, so I couldn't really see anything. And so we went to sleep immediately and then woke up the next day at like noon or something. And I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. It was amazing. There was this incredible scenery all around us. More of those things from the photo, whatever those things are, the Mesa things. Mm-hmm. They were everywhere and it was so magical. Yeah.
Everything's red.
Red, like the reddest rocks, the reddest ground, like clay ground. Yeah. Oh my God, so magical. And cactuses, right? Yeah. Cacti's.
Lots of cacti. yeah, two things that I want to talk about with Moab. Because basically what we did is we planned a couple spots along the route home of like, we definitely want to hit here and here. And then we were kind of winging some of the trip as we went too. But with Moab, we were like, okay, our big thing with this road trip is we wanted to take our dogs someplace they've never been before.
Well, you know what I mean? Called it it was Joshua's Goes West tour.
Yeah.
And we call him Bubs or Bubbies. I don't mm-hmm. know where that came from, but you guys know how your dog's name like morphs from yeah. his real name to something else. So we called it the Bubbies Goes West tour. And he got a big western bandana in Moab as well. So mm-hmm. we wanted to do like amazing adventures with them, which they would never get to do like in New Hampshire or on the East Coast.
Yeah. I just think it's a beautiful thing that, you know, this dog spent the first year of his life like abused and then in a shelter and all that stuff, and then, you know, we adopted him, we've you know, done some lovely trips with him, but you know, it's all been East Coast up and down. He's never been out west, so yeah. we're like, let's just go for it.
I was so excited to do all this like weird crazy stuff with him. And one of the things that we did, well, a couple things we did in Moab which were really special. Well, we slept for like 2 days because we were so tired.
Oh my God, yeah.
I've like never felt so physically exhausted in my life. Because again, this was the 2 days directly after.
It was incredible. That sleep was the best sleep of my entire
life.
Luckily,
the bed was super comfortable.
It was really good.
And it actually felt like our bed, kind of. It was like a Tempur-Pedic, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have at home. So it was really lucky because usually Airbnb beds are bad and hard.
Can never tell until you get there.
Yeah, exactly. But, and we watched like a couple movies and it was really relaxing. And then for the last 2 days that we were there, we did like a decent amount of like eating in like nice restaurants to try to just chill out. And then we we went to Dead Horse Point State Park, which is amazing. And it's where it's dog friendly, which is most of the national parks in that area. We've been to them all ourselves. So we weren't like dying to go to like Arches or Canyonlands or anything because we'd been there just recently, kind of. So, and the dogs aren't really allowed there. I mean, they are allowed, but they have to stay on the paths, so you can't really do anything.
So they can't do anything.
You can't take cool photos or anything. You can't really like get off the path. So we wanted to take them somewhere they could kind of explore as well in a landscape they've never seen. So we went to Dead Horse Point, which was incredible. We should post up a couple of photos from that because that was really incredible.
We've got lots of photos.
Yeah.
Dead Horse Point, really cool. It's very similar to Canyonlands, where like you're over, or the Grand Canyon, where you're just overlooking this giant vast canyon. So it's really special. We just kind of hung out there on the edge with the dogs for a bit and just enjoyed soaking up the sunset. And I don't think we...
Is there a reason you're looking at your phone?
I'm looking at photos of our time there.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, we just sat and watched the sunset with the dogs and like just reflected on what just happened in Vegas. It was magical. And then our other big adventure, or did you have something else?
No, that's good.
Our other big adventure in Moab was UTVing. I said ATVing, but that's the one where you like are by yourself, and UTVing is like a couple seats. And we got a four-seater.
We got a four-seater.
So we could go UTVing with the dogs, because the most magical thing that we've like, one of the most magical things we've ever done in terms of like experience was us in 2021 at the end of Hound Vision. We drove out to Utah because we had Hound Vision in Breckenridge, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And then we drove to Utah from there, just me and you. And we were on like kind of a photo adventure and photographing other people's dogs, but we were by ourselves, just me and you. And we went on this UTV tour that like changed our lives. We were like, this is the most magical shit we've ever done in our life.
Yeah. If anyone's visiting Moab and they're wondering like what to do, because there's tons of different places you can go and parks to see and that sort of thing, what absolutely blew everything else out of the water, I mean, Arches, Canyonlands, Dead Horse Point, everything, was we took a UTV down it's called the Hoorah Pass.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my God, it was so unbelievable.
And you have to kind of go out of your way to find a UTV tour that you can do that's self-guided. Because it's less magical when you're just like with some dude.
Or like in a caravan with other UTVs of strangers. Right. You know what I mean?
And
so you got to find your own.
And when we went out the first time, we were able to rent one for like basically overnight so we could drop it off at any time. And we went all the way down the Hoorah Pass, which probably took us 3 to 4 hours or something. Probably 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was longer than that. You mean the one way?
One way.
Yeah, like 3 hours one way, 3 hours back.
Maybe yeah.
Something like that.
We got
back in the perfect dark and it was so fun.
It was incredible. So we wanted to do the same sort of thing with the dogs, but obviously not put them through like such a long time on the UTV.
Well,
so
because we didn't want to go like super off-roading with it, because when you and me were alone, we went like crazy jagged rocks. We didn't want to do that because they're good at dogs get jostled around.
Right.
It's not comfortable for them. It's loud.
And we also didn't know how our dogs would handle the UTV.
Well, I kind of figured they'd be chill.
They were both just fine. Joshua was thrilled.
They had like the time of their lives. Mm. Well, Junie sat in the back with whoever was in the back. Like either I was driving in the front or you were, and we would like swap. But Junie was in the back and she was chilling. She just liked to sit on like your lap or lay across your lap. And Josh was sitting in the front passenger seat. He had shotgun the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was frigging thrilled with himself. And he loved that we would stop from time to time and he could blast out and go get to pee on everything and smell things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the photo that we're talking about today came from, was the UTV ride day. So we took it down the Hoorah Pass for probably like 2 hours, and then we had to turn around because we didn't want to get to that really extreme part with them. Plus, we were kind of running out of daylight, so we're like, we should probably turn around at some point here. And also, it was hot, so we weren't trying to put them through like a ridiculous amount of like tense things.
No, but they had a blast. It was gorgeous. We stopped again for that photo that you'll see there on the Instagram. And there might be a couple other shots that maybe you haven't put together yet. But grabbed some photos, had a good time, packed a lunch. Headed back, and then we were off to our next stop the next day.
You really glazed over that photo. Did we want to talk about the photo? Isn't that the whole idea? I know you're mad at me, but tell me about the settings. The whole idea was this photo.
Okay,
we were going to make... Remember, we decided this was the photo. So let me tell you real quick about the photo.
Mm-hmm.
We took the UTV in, and right basically at our like turnaround point, I just saw the most like incredible scene. It was so amazing. So we pulled over on the side of the little path, and it was a little bit of a small hike to get up to the spot with a viewpoint. So Junie waited in the ATV because, as you guys know, she is three-legged and it's pretty hard for her to do like a strenuous hike. So me and you and Joshua went. We could see her the entire time, but we had to scramble up some like pretty big boulders. So we watched her the entire time, but we scrambled up to this big rock that finally got the right like overlook to the cool background, and Joshua hopped up on there. Actually, I want to say that you lifted him.
That sounds right. His
old man legs. He tries. He's so cute, but he gets stuck halfway now. So you lifted his little butt up there, and it wasn't long. It was very quick for me to get the shot, A, because Joshua was like a perfect pro at this by now, and B, because you were super impatient. I can't remember, for some reason you were like doing your typical like Mad Sam thing.
We also had to get the UTV back to the rental
place. Yeah, I know, but in the end we were like a half an hour early returning it, which is so frustrating. That's such a Sam-ism. You love being early for everything and it drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we got that photo relatively quickly, but the one thing that was challenging about it was the light was changing drastically because there was like these big puffy clouds in the sky behind me that were shining a light on those huge like canyon walls in the background. So it would go in and out of being really super bright red, and then it would go dull all the way down to like a dark brown, like really underlit. And so I had to change my settings constantly to compensate for that. And I'd be like, oh, the sun's out, shoot, shoot, shoot. And then, oh, wait, it's gone now. Wait, this looks cool too. Shoot, shoot, shoot. And then when I finally got, you know, like the expression I wanted, it wasn't with the light I wanted. So we had to kind of wait until the light changed again to get the expression and the light together, which drove you nuts and you were frustrated. But I think that's the story behind every photo we ever take, is Sam was standing there frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Frustrated and side. Also just lighting it perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect that's... frustration lighting.
Yep. You want to guess your f-stop on this photo?
16.
16?
Just a guess.
She says 16. Let's see. Let's see what the old...
Oh, it was bright, though. Maybe it was more like 22.
No, you're right. It was 16.
Hell yeah. I shouldn't have backpedaled on myself.
Yep.
Should have some faith.
You're at 1/160th ISO 100 F16.
How do I know? Like, everything I do is so predictable.
Well, Yeah, you know what you're looking for, and it's not like every time you pick up the camera you're like, oh God, what do I do?
So but that was good though, because I wanted that large aperture number because there was so much scene. You know what I mean? It was such a big scene, and I didn't want it all to be like blurred out, like blurry shapes. I wanted you to see like the detail in the canyon walls and the, you know, the wispy, like the cool wispy cloudy sky and stuff like that. So I'm really happy with the photo. I love it. Joshua cracks me up because he looks so serious in it, and so like actually looks like you, like the face that he has on.
Yeah,
that's what you look like normally. Like that's your, like,
he is my son.
Yeah, he's your son.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's just genetics at that point. Yeah.
Yep.
So beautiful.
Frustrated with his mother.
So our other big stop that we had planned after Moab was one of your other favorite places.
Oh, my favorite place, probably, like, if I had to name my like top three favorite places in the entire country,
I think we went to two of them.
This would be one or two of them.
Yeah. Well, oh, she's dying.
I'm okay.
Did you inhale a bug?
I don't know.
Okay. We went to Breckenridge.
Breckenridge, Colorado.
Yeah.
Which I never had been to before. Hound Vision in 2021. I had been to Denver many times. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, had never been up to Breckenridge. We had been to Boulder. We had been to Estes Park, right? Mm-hmm. We had been to like some really amazing Colorado Springs, like amazing Colorado places. But we never went up to Breckenridge for whatever reason. But when we went there for Hound Vision, I was like, I'm obsessed. Like, I was meant to be here. I feel like such a tie to that place. Like, I was supposed to be born there or something. And now, unfortunately, I can't even afford a 600 square foot condo there.
No.
Millions of dollars. But we did stay in a really gorgeous Airbnb.
Yeah, it was really nice. It's a nice little townhouse.
Yeah, but it was pretty fancy, and it had the good laundry, and it had the good living room with the fireplace, but it was no lighting. Remember that? I was like, it's so dark in here. It would drive me nuts if I lived there.
Lighting's important.
Very important.
Our big concern going there with our dogs for the first time was like, are they going to be able to acclimate to the altitude?
Yeah, because the townhouse was at like 11,000 feet or close to 11,000.
Yeah, and in New Hampshire, we live at 1,000 feet.
Yeah, and that's really high for our area.
And it's high for our area, yeah. So we were just like, well, and again, both of our dogs, like, not the most agile and I don't know, sporty dogs. You know, one's like older, potatoes. And then, you know, Junie's got the three legs, so we're like, are they gonna be okay? And turns out they were perfectly fine with the altitude.
Yeah, thank goodness. And we were good too. Like, there, some people get really affected by that.
Yeah.
When we had Hound Vision, we had a couple people that got sick and, you know, just kind of like nauseous and vomiting and like yucky. But we were fine, and Josh and June were fine. They were perfect.
Yeah. And then they got to enjoy a little bit of Oktoberfest.
Oh my God, that was a riot. Yeah, they're just so random because we didn't know that was happening. But when we were there, there was, Oktoberfest happening in the downtown streets of Breckenridge, and everyone was wearing lederhosen one day.
And everyone was very drunk.
Yeah, you were also really unhappy then.
Correct.
Because I was so excited. I don't love drunk people. Don't get me wrong. I don't enjoy that. But I do enjoy like a street fair and like a street party.
I really don't.
And you were really bummed. And there was like yodeling, which was so cool. And everyone was dancing. And I was like, look, but you could not enjoy it.
No, because there was a trillion people there. Everyone was drinking, and it's not my scene. I went to Breckenridge because I figured, like, oh, quiet mountain town, like, let's go there and hang out and enjoy some of the chillness. And it wasn't super chill.
It was incredible, and I got a cheese board.
Yes,
it's my favorite.
You love a cheese board.
I love a charcuterie, and I asked for tiny spoons and knives for my birthday.
Yep.
I hope I get tiny spoons and knives tomorrow.
I'm going to get you a spoon so small you won't even know if it's a spoon or an electron.
That's amazing. And I could put jelly in it.
Yep.
Tiny jelly.
Tiny jelly.
And then a tiny cracker on my charcuterie. That's really exciting for me. But seriously, I will pay up to $40 for a charcuterie. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I will, and I have.
I'm like,
give me a board with cheese, various cheeses. I don't care how much it costs.
You just like a variety of things.
I really do. Like, I really love, like, tapas-style food, and it's funny because that's your nightmare.
Correct.
But how good were the tapas we had in Barcelona?
All right, we're getting way off topic.
Whoa, boy. That's some of the best food I think I've ever had. That place in Barcelona and that La Giostra in Florence in Italy was the best food I've ever had in my life.
Fantastic.
And your Thanksgiving meal was pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
Great. Bringing it back around. We didn't do photos in Breckenridge.
We did. We did Beep.
Oh, that's right. We met up with Beep on the on the way out of Breckenridge.
Yeah, on the way out of Breckenridge, we met up with one of my most favorite muses of dog models of all time, Beep.
Beep.
And Beep's, by the way, Beep has an exclamation point at the end of her name. So it's Beep exclamation point.
Yep.
And she is brilliant. She's a frisbee dog. Like, what do you call that sport? What the hell is the name of that sport where they go super long for a frisbee?
I don't know. Long catch.
You'd think I'd know more about this stuff, being that I'm like fully in this industry. And sometimes I'm like, what's that? Doop, beep, boop, boop.
Yeah, but we don't have dogs that do anything athletic.
No, it's true. But Beep is so athletic, and she performs at like halftime shows at like football games all the time, all over the country. She's incredible.
So Beep is what? She's a whippet something.
I think they call those a mixie mix.
A mixy mix.
Yeah, I think. Although Crystal, her mom, might kill me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure she is.
No, I think
she's
you're
like
right.
A border collie whippet or
something. Yeah, all right. That sounds right.
And, I think. Which is like made for speed and agility.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you can just like pop on like YouTube or whatever, and you can search for like Beep.
Just search for Beep Frisbee.
Beep Frisbee, yeah.
Or something like that.
And you can watch this dog like sprint across the entire length of a football field in like 2 seconds and then catch a frisbee.
She's so incredible, though. Yeah. But she was one of our models for Hound Vision.
Yep.
And she came and like blew all of us photographers away. We loved her so much. She was such a riot and so full of it. And I just loved her. But I love her mom, too. And her mom is special to me. She's a friend of mine. So I like really wanted to make sure we saw them when we were there. So we got to see them and do a shoot, which was so nice to catch up with an old friend and then also see Beep. And, you know, do fun photos. And we did some Joshua photos there, too. He got to run around at Officer's... not Officer's Gulch. What the heck was the name of that lake? Dillon Reservoir or something?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and wasn't he cute? Remember how cute he was trotting? He was, like, trotting with his little prance that he does when he's so happy and he was exploring the place. And you were so mad at him. Oh, this is a theme, I think.
I was not mad at him.
You were mad because you were, like, so nervous that he was off leash.
I was, if we're talking about it, I was just a little miffed that like our scheduling got all screwed up, and basically like we were supposed to do the shoot the day before or something like that. Things didn't work out. Crystal was awesome for like being flexible and going with the flow and rescheduling with us, but I knew that like we had like an 11 hour drive
that day.
Yeah,
we had an 11 hour drive from Breckenridge, Colorado to Breckenridge, Missouri.
Yeah, weirdly enough, completely unplanned. The fact that our next stop was also Breckenridge, Missouri, but that's just where the Airbnb that we found happened to be at about the 10 hour mark, where I thought my brain might melt if I drove any further.
Yeah, so we were like supposed to leave that morning. Like our checkout was at 10 a.m. or something from our Airbnb, so we were just gonna leave 10 a.m. and then drive until like 11 p.m. or like midnight. But then we went and did a shoot instead before leaving Breckenridge, and that shoot went until like 1 p.m. So then we had to get like food and gas and da da da. So we started leaving Breckenridge at like 2 p.m. and we did an 11-hour drive.
Correct.
So we got to our Airbnb I think at like 3:30 a.m.
Yeah, that's about right.
But that's fine. It's fine. It's just go with the flow. It's adventure. And Missouri was really cool because that Airbnb was probably my favorite. It was incredible.
Renovated barn.
It was a barn.
It was very cool.
And it was on someone's property, which I usually don't like if like the owner's there, but it had such amazing reviews and it was so separate from the main house. It was like way on the back of this vineyard. Mm-hmm. And it was this barn that was, it was stunning, and it was super comfortable. The bed was so clean and comfortable. The woman like really went out of her way to get it all like prepped and ready. The dogs were super welcome, which was so special.
That was the most important thing. She's like, I have many acres, just let the dogs out and we'll make sure that we keep our dog inside.
Yeah, it was so nice because I was letting her know. I was like, listen, I'm so sorry, but one of my dogs is a pain in the ass with other dogs. Joshua can be selective with other dogs, and so I'm like, if you have a dog, like, I'm not sure if you do, but I just want to let you know. And she's like, oh, I do have a dog, I'll just keep him inside for 3 days, whatever. I was like, oh, that's really nice. I will say that we were there in Missouri on Bubby's birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Which is so special.
It was great. I knew that we'd be someplace weird during our road trip on Joshua's birthday, his big 12th birthday.
It was his big 12, and we were at the home of sliced bread.
So there's, yes, you can look this up to see exactly where we were. We also didn't go here on purpose. I looked for a restaurant that seemed like it wouldn't give us food poisoning.
Yeah, from this like random tiny ass town in Missouri, which was nothing but like farms. There was no commerce at all.
And I found a place that seemed like it would be good. And I called them. I was like, hey, do you allow dogs? And they're like, yep, that's great. And so we brought the dogs.
Yeah.
And we ordered, like, I got ribs because we were in, you know.
It was Chillicothe, Missouri.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
And it was like 20 minutes from the Airbnb because there was nothing closer than like 25 minutes.
And then I ordered Joshua a steak. And
we got a full steak.
And you could tell that this was like the one restaurant in the town where like you go there on like your big like anniversary.
Yeah,
you
know, it was like kind of a fancier restaurant.
It was the fanciest
place for
like hundreds of miles.
Yeah, for that area. Yeah.
And I'm ordering like an expensive steak off
like
the menu
steak.
And giving it to our dog. And luckily our waitress and the manager were both like thrilled to have us and so sweet and very accommodating to the dogs. But I could just tell the people in the back must have been like, what?
Right. Like, we're making this like $45 steak for a dog.
Right. But it was Joshua's birthday. So we had that and he had a little, like a couple licks of ice cream, I think.
Ice cream. Yep. Yeah. And Junie got some too because she just gets lucky. It's by proxy. Like, if it's a good event for Junie, Joshua gets lucky. If it's a good event for Josh, Junie gets lucky.
It's nice how that works out.
I know. Hey, that's how it goes.
And so, yeah, that restaurant was directly across the street from the factory where they first produced sliced bread.
Yeah, the original home of sliced bread. So we went to the factory after we finished eating and we did a nice photo op in front of the big bread thing.
Yeah.
And then we went back to the Airbnb and we had like the most beautiful evening, like in the vineyard, just like wandering around with the dogs and letting them sniff and play. And it was really idyllic and beautiful. And then we went inside and ordered some. No, we had, I don't know, we made some food and then we watched, like, I Think You Should Leave on the little TV up there. Remember that? And played Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That sounds like a typical evening. And, one of the most unexpected things on the whole trip, it was literally, we were just driving down the highway, we were leaving Missouri, and we were heading to our next stop, which was going to be in Ohio.
Which was like 10 hours ago.
Another 10 hours.
11 hours or something.
And we just pass a sign for Marceline, and I'm like, I know what that is.
I'm like, I know this name, Marceline, Missouri. I've heard of that.
Yep, the home of Walt Disney.
Why have I heard of that? Because that's Walt Disney's hometown.
Yep.
That's so right. As a Disney mark, I was like so excited that we were, oh my gosh, we're driving right by Walt Disney's hometown. Let's go. So we got off the highway. I can't believe it. It's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done.
Well,
ever.
I mean, like, what are the odds that we're going to drive directly by the town? And so we cruise down Main Street in Marceline, which is what Main Street USA and Disney World is based on. And you could tell, like,
very
cute. You could see how that place must have looked like, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And then the most special thing is Walt Disney's family farm, which has been turned into like a little spot where you can go. You can visit his what used to be his wishing tree.
I think it's a dreaming tree.
It is a dreaming tree.
Yeah.
And so we parked there, and it was great because unlike any other Disney related attraction, not a soul in sight.
Yeah.
Nobody there.
Yeah.
But
truly.
you can
visit.
It was
like a Tuesday at like 1 p.m.
Yeah. So
you know what I mean.
So we parked and we brought Joshua out, and he got to poop directly on the site of Walt Disney's dreaming tree.
Yeah, which is amazing. Like, he unprompted, man. Like, we didn't be like, time to poop. We didn't. You know what I mean? Go up. Let's get him to go. He did a perfect poop right on top of the dreaming tree. Well, the site of it.
Right, because it did blow down in a storm a number of years
back.
Yeah,
but they have a new dreaming tree, which is like right next to it. But the original one, like the plot for it, was like marked out with like an X.
Yeah.
Like, and Josh pooped right on it.
So 100
dead center, man.
So 100 years ago, Walt Disney's sitting in this tree as a little kid, dreaming up, you know, big dreams, and now today Joshua's doing his business right there.
Well, and I mean, just what a magical moment. I'll never forget. I'll never forget it. And then we got to go to the, like, it's not the real barn from the farm. It's a replica because that barn like burnt down or something. Or did it just, maybe it was dilapidated.
It probably just fell apart because it was a billion years old.
So they built like an exact replica of it, and you can go inside and like all the walls are covered with handwritten messages from people who came from, you know, all over the country or whatever, the world, to like see Walt Disney's hometown. And there's so many beautiful messages on there about like believing in magic. And I know those of you who are not Disney people are puking in your mouth right now. I'm well aware that not everybody is, but it was really special. It kind of like moved me. It was very emotional and moved me to tears. And like, because we were alone, like fully alone there on that farm with like the crickets and the birds, it felt very like, I don't know, it was like kind of, I don't want to sound like a total weirdo, but like a bit of a spiritual like kind of experience.
That was beautiful.
It really was. And we had Joshua with us, which was so special. Juni was in the car. AC was on. She was good, but mm-hmm. she didn't want to. Well, she might have wanted to go further, but her wagon was really like packed tightly in the back, so it would have been hard to get her to come.
Yeah, Juni just has to be carried anywhere anyways. Joshua's the one that wants to go on little adventures, and Juni would rather chill out.
And he did like a big roll. He did his happy boy rolls all over the property, and it was such a special time. And he got to go in the barn with us, and you signed in the barn.
Yeah, so the barn, it's meant to be signed. It's not like we're graffitiing the thing. I think they had magic markers in there for people to sign it.
Yeah.
So like every square inch of the wood on the inside of the barn is covered in people's messages and signatures and names and that sort of thing. And I'm like, I got to find a special spot. So I stood up on one of the benches and went over one of the beams. And on top of one of the beams, not a soul had signed it.
Yeah.
So if anyone's visiting the spot, you can find a special message by standing on top of the bench and looking over top of one of the beams. And I signed it for Joshua.
This made me cry.
For Joshua and Juni, two dreamers.
Oh, keeping it together.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Jeez.
So that was a really special little detour on our trip.
So special, I'll never forget it. I really loved that day. And then we proceeded to drive 10 more hours to Ohio, to weird rural Ohio, which we did not at all know when we booked it was properly an Amish country.
Yeah, full on Amish country.
Babe, I have to pee so bad. Can you talk about the Amish for like 2 minutes?
I'd love to talk about the Amish. first of all, we had no idea that there was Amish country outside of Pennsylvania. We're not going to get into talking about the Amish and the way that they treat dogs. We'll save that for a different day. But it was quite a surprise coming around a twisty, windy country road doing, 40 miles an hour, coming up to a horse and buggy doing 2 miles an hour and not killing everyone inside. So we pretty quickly figured out that we were deep in Amish country. And then weirder still, we're in Ohio, we're in Amish country, and somehow in another layer in, we're also in like a Swiss village.
I feel like a new woman.
I'm
glad. Got back from the bathroom.
Welcome back.
Okay. Are we talking about the world's largest cuckoo clock?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, what a highlight. Truly, when I recount our road trip, my highlights are things just went poorly. I got back, I was on a roll.
Yeah, you're all busy.
And then I just dropped the ball.
Do you remember the name of the town that the cuckoo clock was in?
Oh gosh,
the weird Swiss village?
Yeah. It's like America's first or America's only Swiss village. It's called like little Switzerland or whatever. And but that's not the name of the town. I forget the name.
All right.
It's in Ohio, and it's in a part of Ohio I didn't know existed. And I know Sam probably already told you we saw horse and buggies like everywhere and bicycles. And we weren't sure what the conundrum was on the morality of it with the Amish with the no technology thing, because some of them were on e-bikes. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, if you're Amish, write in. I don't know how. Pen and paper. I don't know what you're listening to this on, but tell me why e-bikes are okay. The world's largest cuckoo clock is in Sugar Creek, Ohio.
Oh, that's right, Sugar Creek.
It was very weird.
It was so strange. It was like a little awesome horror movie come to life. Like, it was actually idyllic and completely beautiful, and I won't forget that day because it was such a special day. But in the same vein, it was kind of creepy, right? Because it was like everything was Swiss. Like, the exteriors of all the buildings were like, I don't know if they were facades or what, but they were all painted up like, Alpenhaus, like Swiss village things or whatever. There was like Swiss food, and I'm not sure. And I feel a little ignorant, but I'll honestly say, I'm not sure if maybe, is there some connection from like the Mennonite Amish to Switzerland?
I cannot tell you.
Okay. Well, we can research that later, but I will say, shout out to the store that we went into with nothing but the creepiest shit I've ever seen in my life. Do you remember that store?
Yes.
It was so crazy. Oh, God. Can we please post something from... Oh, please.
Did you take photos there?
Oh, God, yes. Right. You left me in there by myself because you couldn't handle how weird it was. And I was like,
one,
fascinated.
Yes. And two, you're creeping around in the store. And meanwhile, like, I wanted to make sure the dogs were cool.
You're always like... So you're, well,
I'm always what?
Safe,
taking
safe,
care of
safe,
the dogs?
Sam.
I'm sorry.
Super safe Sam. Always ears on the side of caution.
Uh-huh.
Gotta make sure. Boop, beep, boop. Everybody safe. Beep, boop. And then we went to that. Remember we went to that little store that had like a horror museum in it?
Yeah, this is a very weird downtown to old Sugar Creek there.
But listen, I don't want to bore people with this old baby story, but I will say maybe the other best food I've ever had. Okay, top three best foods ever. The other one was there in the Amish, Ohio. Remember we had the incredible food straight from the Amish themselves?
Yep.
I forget what the name of the place was, and I feel kind of bad about that.
No, it's not helpful at all.
But, well, we can look it up. But I literally got, like, a salad. So we go into this place. We were highly recommended it by the Airbnb host, who I had my suspicions might be Amish, because he was talking about, like, raising dogs, which is, like, kind of a, like, breeding dogs and raising golden retrievers, which
is... not getting into it.
Whatever. And then I got vibes from him that he might be, but then you were like, how is he running an Airbnb on the app, though, Kaylee? Like, he can't use that. And I was like, oh, you're probably right, so maybe I'm wrong. I never got to meet him in person or anything, but... and there was a TV in the house, which means there's electricity. Oh, there was electricity, too. Okay, so anyway, backing up. He gave us this recommendation, and we're like, okay, yeah, maybe. And then he, like, wrote me again. He was like, no, you really should go there. And I was like, all right, I guess if you harp on it. And we went there, and it was in this cute little downtown. But then I saw, like, horse and buggies all around it. And then when we went in, the girl greeting us at the front stand was like, she was in the proper traditional Amish dress. And then all the people working there were. And I was like, oh, I'm confused. I didn't know that I could get food like directly at a restaurant, you know, like from them. I wasn't sure how that worked because I don't want to, again, sound ignorant, but there was like all this technology running all like the machines. You know what I mean? Like the iPad at the checkout and then the like the ovens and all the fancy equipment to cook the food. I don't know. I'm not really sure how that works. But the other dead giveaway that it was going to be really good and was really like authentic was that like all the patrons were, well, most of them, I'd say like 80% of the patrons were also Amish. So I was like, oh, this is, you know what I mean? Like, obviously it's approved by the community. And that what food was unbelievable. That was some of the best food I've had. That's the best food I've had in years, actually, at that place. And I just had like a salad, some kind of a fancy salad with chicken. But then we also got like a, what did we get? Some fancy dessert thing.
I have no memory of that, but and anyone who's jonesing to play Weird Al's Amish Paradise, now's your time.
Well, is that what you were doing on your phone the entire time when I was talking?
I was trying to look up the name of the restaurant.
Oh, well, we'll find it. But anyways, this is a dog photography podcast. We don't have to talk about that anymore, but I will say that was pretty spectacular. One other highlight was that we tried to go to a Petco to get, I forget what, food or something for the dogs. I think we needed food. And we tried to go to Petco so we could buy some just food for dogs. And the GPS took us a long way out of the way. And then when it finally got us to where it was going to put us, it was an empty field. Remember that?
Yes, so mad. I do. Yes, I do so remember mad. That. And I was very mad. It's like, you have arrived. I'm like, there's nothing here.
And
there's not
gone,
even a
like,
building.
We had gone like 30 minutes out of the way.
Yeah.
And that's 30 minutes each way for nothing, you know? So whatever. Anyway, so that was really lovely. We had this beautiful log cabin that we rented there, and it had the most like idyllic porch. So we sat on those rocking chairs on the porch for quite a while. And then the next day after that, it was about 11 hours from there back to home.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through Vermont, which was magical.
It was beautiful. It came down the last couple hours and twisty, windy mountain roads. And it was a great feeling after, you know, about a month of travel to finally just pull up to the house. And to see that it was still standing, which
heck
was great.
Yeah.
And then two, just to let the dogs out, because they love to come home like after a long time.
Yeah.
Like they go wild rolling all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really lovely. And then to finally, you know, that feeling when like you finally get to sleep in your own bed again.
Oh my, it is the Oof. Best. Oh boy. Oh boy.
And I've been sleeping ever since.
Yeah, pretty much. No, yeah. You haven't been sleeping because you're back. You're like, oh, my back. Oh.
Well, the last couple of days,
my
yes.
My back hurts so bad. Like a 95-year-old man.
Mm-hmm. But we got back and it's been good to just take a little time. We're still doing a lot of stuff, but like.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of like, I don't know how to describe it. Is it clerical? Maybe that's not the word, but no, like studio-based stuff I've had to do.
Clerical work, yeah.
Yeah, like lots of quotes and lots of like, well, editing and stuff too. I wouldn't call it clerical necessarily. Mm. It's creative.
I've had a couple
editing.
Shoots, but like nothing compared to the workload. I actually just posted on my personal Instagram, my little story or whatever. You know, they show you like the year end. Here's your year end wrap up for music. Yeah. And so I have Apple Music and they show me my number one album that I listened to was this album by Sufjan Stevens. It's called Carrie and Lowell and it's a beautiful album.
It's his parents' names, right? Carrie and Lowell?
His grandparents, I think. Oh, is it? I would put that on when I would do Shutterhound office work and it told me how many times I listened to the album, and I had listened to it 1,432
wow.
times.
Well, yeah, that was such an insane amount of work. I still kind of can't believe that all happened. It feels like a fever dream or something. You know what I mean? Like that just like wasn't real, but it was real in my head. I don't know. It was so flipping magical. I can't even begin with it. But yeah, no, that took a lot out of us, and just in that like recuperation time has been great and important. And we were kind of busy though when we got back. I feel like just now we're starting to cool it a little.
Just in time for your birthday.
Yeah, I think, well, and of course I want to do like crazy shit and go everywhere for my birthday. I don't want to just stay at home. But I am looking forward to like the Christmas season and hopefully just like calming down and like watching movies. We have watched a couple of good movies recently and we tried to watch as many horror movies as we could when we got back because it was Halloween. But things got a little crazy on the personal front here as well. I'll get to it. I'll get to all that at some point one day here. But yeah, things got like kind of wild and out of control. And I think finally are starting to like settle back down again. So it will be nice to just relax and get ready for like really big dreams and really big ideas in 2024. So that'll be all magical and fantastic. And that kind of sums it up, the whole road trippy boy.
That's what you did. You did a beautiful job.
I did?
Sure.
You said a nice thing.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that you said a nice thing to me.
Kaylee?
Yes.
I can't sit up straight anymore. I need to go lay on my stomach on the hardwood floor. So I think it's time to wrap it up for this week. And I think I need you to sing us out.
You got a bad back, you got a bad back, I ain't gonna cut you any slack.
Ooh, that's good.
That's all I could come up with immediately and quickly, and now it's over.
It needs a second verse.
I can't do it. It's too much pressure. Wait for next week and you'll hear something nice.
You're gonna pick it right up.
Yep. That's the first thing I'll do next week. Mark my words.
Adventures in Dog Photography with Kaylee Greer and Sam Haddix is a Dog Breath production. Follow us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.